All right, let's begin. Last week, I spoke on the Lordship of Christ. And as I said in that message, it is absolutely a necessity for all disciples of Christ to relate to Jesus as their Lord. First and foremost, He is our Lord. He is Lord of all, and that is the gospel message. And since He is Lord, that makes us His servants. More than anything else, this is how we should relate ourselves to Jesus Christ, that we are His servants, that He is the Lord, and we are His servants. Today I want to speak on the characteristics of being a servant. According to Jesus, before we can be exalted and promoted to the high position of a ruler in the coming kingdom, we need to take on the role of being a servant. That is the role that we should have right now in the church. That is the role that we should have right now. We should want to become a lowly servant. Exaltation is future. This is not the age where we strive for exaltation. This is not the age where we strive to be praised. And if you think that, you will be in for a very big surprise when Jesus Christ returns. Isaiah looks ahead to that day in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11, and he says, "The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the lofty pride of man shall be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. For the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty." He has a day that is against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Then in verse 19, "And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth." We live right now in an age of humility. This is our chance. This is our chance to become great. But there is only one way. We need to see ourselves as servants. As servants. Servants of the Lord. The Lord's servants will be exalted. They will be exalted in due time. In due season. This is what Jesus taught in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." The reason the servant heard "well done" from the Lord was because he served. He served his master well. He was good and faithful. He understood what this age was all about. He was responsible and profitable in his service. He was trustworthy. He did not serve sin. He did not serve self. And the Lord could count on him. A good and faithful servant can be counted on. It was the one who spoke these words in Matthew 25, 21, our Lord Jesus Christ. It was Him who became the supreme example of servanthood. A model for us. A copy. He taught us what it was like to be a servant. He showed it to us. A servant of servants. And you can't get any lower than that. We're exhorted in the Scriptures to look unto Jesus in Hebrews 12:2. In Hebrews 12:3, the Scriptures say we are to consider Him. Peter said that Christ left us an example that you should follow His steps in 1 Peter 2:21. And after Jesus finished washing the dirty feet of His disciples in the role of a servant, Jesus said something to us, something that we need to consider, something we need to receive and ponder. In John 13:12, it says, "So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments and sat down again, He said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.'" By washing the feet of His disciples, Jesus was doing the work of the lowliest of all servants. We need to learn from His example. He says, "I have given you an example." And this doesn't mean that we literally start washing each other's feet as some kind of church ordinance, some kind of church ritual. That is absurd. People do that today. They literally think that we should wash each other's feet. And you know, people who practice that, they let everybody in the church know that on Sunday we'll be washing each other's feet. And you guarantee everybody makes sure their feet are nice and clean. Because they know that people are going to be handling. But that takes away from the whole point. Jesus did a work on His disciples' feet because their feet needed cleaning. That's not the example that Jesus wants us to follow. There was strife. There was contention among the apostles in the upper room that night in the church. In Luke 22:24, there was also strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Jesus was showing His disciples greatness. Why? How? By serving them. By serving His followers. He set the example of humility. He took upon Himself the humblest of duties. The lesson we have to learn is found in verse 13 and 14 of John 13. If the Lord Jesus Christ can stoop down in a lowly position as a servant and wash the feet of His followers, serving them in that capacity, we should be willing as His followers to do the same for one another. That is what Jesus is showing us. To humble ourselves before each other as servants, serving one another. Instead of fighting and bickering and competing against one another over who's the greatest. This is what this church has done its very best to promote over the years, this message. There is no room for pride here. There is no room for haughty spirits in this church. And Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 2, he lays out the model of what it means to be a real servant of Jesus Christ. And these passages are so important. If we really apply these passages in Philippians chapter 2 to our lives, we will literally escape so many unnecessary problems, especially in relationships. Relationships in the church, the relationship with your spouse. And let me say this. Most, if not all, personal problems we face in life that are really not necessary, these problems are due to pride. These problems are due to self-centeredness. They're due to worldly ambition. It has nothing to do with personality weakness. And the Bible makes no allowance whatsoever for personality weakness. The problem is with pride. That's the problem. Pride in our heart that's not been dealt with through the cross. A humble death to self. We don't have to be proud. That's the message of the Bible. We don't have to be proud. We can change. How? Become a servant. Become a servant. That's the message that Christ lived out. Taking on the nature of a servant was exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ. Humility is not a personality trait that we're born with. It is a choice. You do the humbling, and God, in due time, will do the exalting. That's the message of the Bible. There is no question that we can escape all the negative effects of pride if we have a deep understanding of what Paul is teaching here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 on to 8. Paul writes, let nothing be done. Let no action, let no behavior be done through selfish ambition. The King James says strife or conceit. The King James says vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, with humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is what it means to be Christian. This is Christian. And hear me this morning. These verses that I just read, this should be our creed. This should be our dogma right here. This is how you survive the local church. Did you know this morning that you have to survive the local church? Yes, you do. Think of the definition of survive. Survive means to manage to keep going in difficult circumstances. It means to continue to live or exist, especially in spite of danger or hardship. It means to stay alive despite an injury. To survive something is to live through it. So what's so dangerous, you might be saying, about church? And why would we have to survive it? People. You and the person next to you. People. These verses I just read teach us how to survive the local church. And you know, some people never get this. They just don't get it. The eyes of their understanding are veiled, and they never have dealt with pride. They've never dealt with arrogance. They've never dealt with their selfish ambition. And you can preach on this for years and years and live it by example before them. But for some people who take the name of Christ, they just miss this. They miss it. And they can't see it. And it just doesn't sink in, and they will always be a source of contention and strife. And that's sad, because that's not the way it has to be. Let me make it clear. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, 3-8, this is how we enter the kingdom. This is how you can be exalted to a position of greatness when Christ returns in all of His glory. You don't have to be hiding in the rocks or caves, as Isaiah said. But we need to obey the command in Philippians 2:5, where it says, let this mind be in you. That's a command. This was the mind or attitude of Jesus Christ our Lord, who made Himself of no reputation. What does that mean? Jesus came on the earth. He did not come demanding everyone to praise Him, did He? He did not come and say, give me all the attention, although He could have. He could have. But Jesus made a choice to descend. He descended. He stepped down. He humbled Himself. One writer said, Jesus wasn't born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. There was no room in the inn because God wasn't coming to earth as a celebrity. He was coming as a servant. Jesus defined humility for us. It's becoming a servant. No reputation literally means, in the Greek grammar, He emptied Himself. What does that mean? He made Himself nothing. This is humility defined. It is a personal disappearing act. Jesus made Himself nothing. Listen to these verses in Isaiah 53, 2. He had no form or majesty that we should look at Him, and no beauty that we should desire Him. That's Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich. One writer says, humility is an inner joy at the success of another, even when that success comes at your expense. Jesus, who was rich, became poor. Through His poverty, we might become rich. In Romans 15, 3, for even Christ did not please Himself. And Jesus said in Matthew 8, 20, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. We're commanded by Paul to have this kind of mindset. To have this kind of thinking. What kind of mindset? What kind of thinking? Lowliness of mind. Philippians 2:3. And what is that? That we are nothing but servants. That we are nothing but servants. And servants are humble. That's the nature of a servant. They don't do anything, not one single thing out of strife or vainglory. Meaning they're not self-centered. They are others-centered. Others-centered. They serve. They serve. They're always looking for opportunities to serve and be a blessing to others. They're not looking to be recognized. They're not looking to be appreciated or promoted. They're not trying to impress people. They're not pushing their opinions and their rights. And they don't complain. Servants never complain. They never murmur. They don't have their own plan or agenda. They don't walk around with a haughty look. You know, people that are proud and filled with themselves, for the most part, they have a certain look about them. They carry with them an atmosphere. They're constantly in personality conflicts, especially with those that are over them. But the servant mindset is in contrast. The servant mindset is content. Content with esteeming others greater than themselves. That's the servant mindset. They are content to be humble. Humble as servants under God's authority. They're content with being last and the least and at the bottom. That's a servant. To be nothing. Just like Jesus. No reputation. The mark of a servant is that he puts others first. That's what we learn here in Philippians chapter 2. That's what we learn in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not looking for people to serve him. He was looking for opportunities to serve others. And when we do that, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. One writer said, Richard Foster said this, "Nothing disciplines the inordinate desires of the flesh like service. Nothing transforms the desires of the flesh like serving in hiddenness. The flesh whines against service, but screams against hidden service. It strains and pulls for honor and recognition. It will devise subtle, religiously acceptable means to call attention to the service rendered. If we stoutly refuse to give in to this lust of the flesh, we crucify it. And every time we crucify the flesh, we crucify pride and arrogance." Notice what Jesus taught in Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Jesus called them to himself. He called his disciples, his church, and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. For whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Convicting verses. You know, the Lord, he knows man. He knows that man loves to strive for attention, recognition. He wants to look good in front of others. But really, servants of Christ, they do everything they can to serve others before themselves. They love to serve, not in the limelight. They love to serve behind the scenes, behind the curtain. They don't have to be front and center. They don't serve to be recognized. They don't serve to be honored as someone great. No one has to acknowledge them. Or even thank them. And we'll learn that later on. Does the master have to thank his servant? Servants don't want attention. And that's what it means to serve the Lord. Doesn't mean we walk around and we're quiet and don't say anything and don't participate in church. That's called weirdness. That's not being a servant of Jesus Christ. That's serving self. Mark 9:35, he sat down, called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, if you really want to be first, he shall be last of all and what? Servant of all. Humility is never anxious about recognition. That is a servant. A servant's joy is found only in pleasing his master. And this is what we should be striving for in the church. We should be striving in the church for these words right here. To be the last of all and the servant of all. And if we in the church, all of us are striving for this, our church body, our little church body will give a gigantic, huge reflection of Jesus Christ. One writer says, to whatever degree we exalt ourselves, to that degree Jesus Christ is hidden from view. To whatever degree we demand our way, Jesus Christ is forbidden from having His way. To whatever degree we call attention to who we are, Jesus Christ to that degree cannot reveal to a dying world who He is. If we have this attitude to be last of all, to be the servant of all, you know what? You will never get offended. Did you hear me then? If you have this attitude to be last of all, be servant of all, you will never get offended. You will not be oversensitive. Servants don't take offense. They don't take offense. How can they? How can servants take offense? Because they're servants. They don't have that right. They don't have that privilege. They are nobody. They are nothing. They have no reputation. They don't demand anything. Have you ever heard a servant demanding? What do? They serve. They don't demand. That's not their place. Servants are like flies. They're flies on a wall. How many times do you ever recognize a fly on the wall? Not many times. Flies on the wall don't draw your attention. Servants are not crying out because nobody wants to do what they want to do. That's not a servant. That's not a servant spirit. Servants are not wondering why they are not being served by others. Does that sound like a servant to you? That's not the nature of a servant. They're too busy serving. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11-12, he who is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The key to servanthood is found in the words of Jesus in Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. There's the key. There's the key right there. We should follow in His steps. This is our example. Are we above the Lord? No. Jesus said in Matthew 10:24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Our Lord did not come to this earth to be waited on, to be served. Do we? Is that the attitude that we should have in the church? Someone needs to serve me? Never. God forbid. Jesus came to serve. Are we above Him? No, we're not. The servant is not above his master. We need to be like Him. So many problems can be solved in one's life by taking heed to this. One writer said, the reason true humility is difficult is that true humility takes on the form of a servant And most of us would much rather be served than to serve. Are you in the church to serve others or to be served? That's such an important question. When you serve others, you serve the Lord. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 25:40. Verily I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Oh, be very, very careful in the church that you're not overcritical and judgmental, hyper-spiritual and self-righteous, judging your fellow servant, thinking that maybe that you are more spiritual than anyone else. This is not the attitude of a servant. In Romans 14:4, who are you? Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Hello? Who are we to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Oh, servants have deep respect and honor for their fellow servants. A servant of Christ serves the body of Christ. He looks for ways to serve other body members, not judge them, not be overcritical and always putting them under an examination. Paul said in Galatians 5:13, by love we serve one another. By love we serve one another. The question we need to ask, are we quick to judge? Are we critical of our other brothers and sisters in the church? We have to ask the question, am I here to serve or be served? If you're here to be served, you probably won't last long. That's not what this church is all about. This attitude of wanting to be served will take you out of the race. It will take you out of the race. It's another spirit. It serves not our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 16:18. It serves the belly. It's serving sin. It's serving self. And when we serve self and sin, we're serving the devil. He who serves the Lord Jesus Christ does this by humbly following Him. In John 12:26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. A servant is a follower of his Lord. He seeks to please Him, to follow His example. Another very important characteristic of a servant of the Lord is a servant of the Lord is not a man pleaser. He's not a man pleaser. He's not looking for man's praise or man's regard. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Oh, this is a big indicator of a servant of Christ. This really is one way that we can know that we're serving Christ. Do we seek to please people? Are we people pleasers? Are we so much concerned about what people think that it becomes a controlling force in our lives? If it's your aim and goal in life to please people, Paul said you cannot be a servant of Christ. And Jesus told us very clearly that a servant cannot serve two masters. You can't do it. Oh, the man pleaser. The people pleasers focus on the world. They focus on the temporal. They focus on things that don't matter. Things that are passing away. Oh, all the praise and adulations of man, they all pass away. They're all going to pass away. They want promotion in this life. They want to preserve their reputation rather than serving the Lord. Barnes says a servant of Christ must do his duty and must regulate his conduct by the will of God rather than people and pleasing people. Whether people are pleased with it or not. The whole goal in life for us as servants of the Lord is to please God, to please our Lord, not man. And there's a huge difference here between serving the Lord and the spirit of the world. You know, in fact, as servants of Christ, not only do we not seek to be men pleasers, but we have to be ready for people to hate us. For people to misunderstand us. For people to despise us. To speak all kinds of evil against us. Jesus said in Matthew 10:25, it is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? In John 15:20, Jesus says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And Psalm 119:84, the Bible says, the psalmist said, how many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? Servants are persecuted. Why? Because their Lord was persecuted. You know, I made up my mind a long time ago as a Christian and as a pastor that I would not be a people pleaser. That I would not be someone up here in the pulpit to please people. I won't do it. We've had some really wealthy people visit this church, but I never changed my message. Because I'm not in the position to make people feel good. I'm not in this position that God has put me in to stroke people with nice words. To make them feel good. I'm in this position to serve the Lord. To serve Him. To please Him. To be His servant. To do His will. And since we started this church, we've changed many of our views on many doctrines. And for some people, they might not like that. They might be highly critical of that. But we're not here to please people. We're here to serve the Lord and to do His will. And I frankly could care less what people think about our changes. We're not here to please man. We're here to please God. Do you seek to please God in all that you do, or are you worried about what others think? Good question to ask. Do you seek to preserve your reputation with man at the expense of compromising what you know is the right thing to do? In closing this morning, probably the most key characteristic of a servant is that servants obey. Jesus took the form of a servant. And it says, He humbled Himself and became obedient. And this was radical obedience. Because He came to a place where He became obedient even to the extreme of death. To death. And not just an ordinary death. But the cross. A servant obeys his Lord. No excuses, no delays, no what ifs. And the main concern for a servant is his obedience to the Lord's commandments. The main concern. In Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, are of obedience under righteousness. In Psalm 119:17, Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. In Luke 12:43, blessed, Jesus said, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes, obeying. A good and faithful servant does his duty. He does the very thing that is expected of him. And that's what Jesus taught in Luke 17:7. Jesus gave this parable and he said, will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? Verse 10. So you, servant also, when you, servant, have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Oh, Jesus knows us so well. He knows us so well. We think way, way too highly of ourselves. And Jesus in this parable is telling us how to see ourselves, how to view ourselves in a master-servant relationship. Who is it that receives the honor? In a master-servant relationship, who is it that receives the honor? Not the servant. No. The servant, remember, is nothing. He is no one. And the servant's sole occupation is to serve and honor the master, no matter how he feels. Do you think this servant who was plowing all day and keeping sheep all day in the sun felt like coming in and serving his master? He felt like reclining and being served. Notice here what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us something so important. The attitude of a servant is to strive at staying humble. That's the attitude of a servant. He strives at staying humble. At our very best, when we do all the commands, when we do every single command, we do every command written down. We can't think of anything else we could do. We've done it all. We only have done our duty. And we have not one single thing to boast about. Nothing to brag about. No little blue ribbon. No shiny trophy. It is the servant in this story, and don't miss this. It is the servant in this story who doesn't pat himself on the back for a job well done in verse 10. It is the servant who is to say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty. He doesn't lift himself up thinking that someone owes him something. Why? He's done his duty. He has done what was expected of him. And even when we do our duty and we do all the commands, understand that it was not by our strength, it was not by our power that we did it. It was the strength and it was the might given to us by Almighty God. God pours out grace to the humble, while at the same time He stiff arms the proud. That's what that verse means, really. Resist the proud means He stiff arms them. Get away from me. It is the humble servant who sees himself as unprofitable. unworthy. Even after he has done all that was commanded of him. He's not to think that he's special. I'm a special servant. I'm not just an ordinary servant. I'm a special servant because I did all that I was told to do. Nope. Jesus said to the servant, this is what you are to say. We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is how we are to view ourselves. This is how. And please don't forget this. I don't want to forget this. We as His servants have only done what was expected as a lowly servant should do. When we obey God, don't think that we're worthy of any honor. You're just an unworthy servant. When you do well at the office or at the workplace, you're just an unworthy servant. When you're a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, oh, don't pat yourself on the back. You're an unworthy servant. Oh, today I love my wife as Christ loved the church. I'm a special husband. No, you're not. You're an unworthy, unprofitable servant. Oh, I submitted to my husband today. I did everything he obeyed. He's such a good Lord, and I'm such a special wife. No, you are not. You are nothing but an unprofitable and unworthy servant. Do you get what I'm saying this morning? This is true humility. When you do things in the church and serve the church, understand, you are nothing but an unprofitable and unworthy servant. Don't look for anybody to thank you. Don't look for anybody to praise you. Shake your hand. You are nothing but an unworthy and unprofitable servant. That is how we are to view ourselves. This is how we need to see ourselves. It keeps us humble. Cast out all pride and wrong motives of the heart. If you are humble and a servant and do all that you command, all that's commanded of you, you will never think of anyone owing you anything. It was your duty. As servants of the Lord, we need to have this attitude that John the Baptist had. In closing up this morning, my second closing. Think about John the Baptist. Jesus says he was the greatest of all the prophets. And in John 3:30, the greatest of all the prophets said this: He must increase, but I must decrease. I must become nothing. I must disappear. We are to downplay our importance. That's what this means. We are to downplay our importance. We are to decrease. We are to what? Disappear. We are to esteem Christ. We are to praise Christ as Lord. Our duty is to serve Him and lift up Christ. This is the message that we promote. This is the message. This is the dogma of our church service. We are servants serving the Lord with lowliness of mind, waiting for the day when the Lord will return in all His glory. And in that day, He will lift us up. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to share these words on what it means to be humble, to become a servant. And Lord, help us understand in this church, no matter what we do for someone, it's always great to get to hear a thank you. It's always great to have someone appreciate us. But understand this, if someone doesn't say thank you, if someone doesn't appreciate us, help us keep in our mind that we are nothing but unworthy, unprofitable servants. Help us have this attitude, this mindset that Christ had. Help us, God. We know that this will make a great church. And many of us here, and I would say the majority of our church is like this, but we need to even go lower in our humility. And the lower we go in our humility, we know, God, that the greater you will be revealed in all of us. We thank you so much for this message. In Jesus' name, amen.